Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Bowlology Report. Damien Fleming here, joined as always by a man who scored a test double hundred. He played for 45 individual T20 teams. It's of course Bradley Hodge. Hodgie, good to see you.
Good to see you, Flem. I thought you were talking about Jason Gillespie then.
No, but he didn't play. Hasn't he coached 45 different
teams?
Maybe,
probably. That's where I got it mixed up.
I think his first coaching gig was the Rhinos over there in Zimbabwe.
He did, yeah. He did do a stint in Zimbabwe. I think it was for about 2 or 3 years, actually.
What was your experience in Zimbabwe cricket?
That's probably the only country that I haven't played professionally in a T20 league.
So you might battle now that they're banned.
Probably,
from the ICC.
Yeah,
actually, they can still play domestically, but we just won't see them internationally for a little while.
Did you tour there?
Yes.
It was actually quite a good country to tour, actually.
Fantastic.
I think one of the highlights for us was spending a week down at Heath Street's farm in Bulawayo. That was pretty cool. Sad to hear, actually, that half that farm got taken away by Mugabe and his troops, but that wasn't great. But good guy, Heath Street. Memories, unfortunately, they won't be playing cricket there for a while.
Good player, Heath Street.
Good player.
Yeah, good man. Well, what I liked, test match at Harare.
Yeah.
Finish your day's work, have a quick shower. Pub at Fine Leg.
Sports club, yes, the Harare Sports Club.
You're having a pint within 90 seconds of leaving the dressing rooms.
Well, it's pretty cool. Back in those days, I guess you could do it, couldn't you? But now you have to have the ice bath and top up with Powerade.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess those modern cricketers unfortunately miss out on the Harare Sports Club, but it's a pretty cool joint. I spent a fair bit of time there as well enjoying that, watching.
So what were you? Is that an academy tour or
we
something?
It was an academy tour, yes. It was Rod Marsh's group. We went over there and we had some fairly quick bowlers, actually. We played against the couple of fairly average sides, I must admit. And
so you would have smashed them.
Yeah, well, we smashed them, there's no doubt. But what did get smashed actually was a lot of the players' helmets from the opposition. So that we had Brett Lee, Ashi Nofke was actually bowling quick then. Matt Nicholson, I reckon, was also there. So we had some serious steam. And in one game, we actually did smash 7 helmets. And
believe that was a record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It must be. I've never seen anything like it. But after
the game. So we know that there's obviously a lot of financial problems over there. But would you be suggesting, if you are in Zimbabwe and Australian teams touring, get into helmets?
Yes. Get into helmets. Get a sponsor with Missouri. Because we actually got asked. Rod Marsh actually made us hand our helmets over to the opposition.
Okay.
As a gift or a present. So. Yeah, because they were short of funds. And I thought it was actually a nice gesture. There you go. There's a Victorian cricket helmet, buddy. Good luck.
It
was a bit weird, but I could understand.
Oh, I'd love to go over there and play some domestic cricket against a bloke batting in a Victorian helmet, particularly one circa 93, 94.
I'll tell you who also was on that tour was, and he dominated, Brendan Creevy. He's a Queensland bowler.
A bit of a character.
Yeah.
School teacher now, Creevy.
Tall line and length, got bowler.
Creevy,
Brendan Creevy. Yeah, he dominated actually. Didn't quite kick on at the high level.
And he was
level.
A bit of fun too off the field, wasn't he? He
was
a
good
bit
fun,
flamboyant.
Actually. Was good fun.
But I tell you one bloke you just mentioned there, and it just triggered a little story, Matthew Nicholson.
Oh, same thing happened in the... Yeah, you go for it.
I'll go. You back me up. So it's a one-off test. I think Jason Gillespie broke his leg in Sri Lanka. So we're in Zimbabwe. Harare's quite a quick pitch. So basically we'll go 3 quicks and the great Shane Warne. So McGrath and Fleming are in. Nicholson, Matty's over there. So he's playing.
Yeah.
He's just going to play. And he was tall and bouncy at his best anyway. So we played this tour game in Bulawayo. And myself and McGrath got a couple of wickets. Then Nico gets the ball. Yeah. And then it was unbelievable. Because poor Matty, who had, you know, it wasn't the finest bowling action of all time. Yeah. You know, arms and legs were sort of going everywhere. Mm. But geez, he was fast and bouncy.
Yep.
So he proceeds to start bowling, and it's not the avenue of
apprehension. No.
It's the Nicholson motorway of mayhem, basically, yeah. And not for the batsman because he could not bowl the ball on the pitch.
Didn't he bowl one straight to
second slip?
Mark Ward's second slip, like what Harmison did to Freddie.
Well, I'd reckon he did
match.
Three or four of them. I'm at fine leg. And I'm starting to be backstopped because he's actually bowling balls straight over Ian Healy's head. Then amazing. A few balls at his feet. Like it was just...
What did the players do?
Oh, feeling bad.
And what sort of advice was given? Was Steve Waugh the captain at the time?
Tugger was the captain. So you just feel empathy straight away, just going, well, firstly, what's going... We'll try and get him right now.
Yeah.
Then it's like you can't fix it quickly. You're out of the test match. So I remember we got off the field and I actually went to him. I go, how about we go to the nets? I'll bat, which I didn't really want to do because he was ugly, didn't he?
Yes.
When he got, it was hip to shoulder. So it was gutsy from myself, to be fair. And then he bowled six balls, right?
Yeah.
And you know how many I got to hit?
No. Zero.
He was hitting the side nets and he goes, Flemmo, that'll do me. And I went, fair enough. And so we're in the dressing rooms and everyone's...
And what advice do you give, like, as a young bowler, if you can't actually... find your rhythm or get it. How did you actually... What advice did you give?
I was hoping that the nets would fix the problem.
Right.
Obviously, by missing the net,
you'd
actually get the ball down to me. And then, you know, my philosophy always is, you know, get all the big body parts going towards where you want the ball to go.
Yeah.
But because he had that unique action, you know, he used to bowl across himself and, you know, his bottom half was, you know, a little bit mixed as well. So we get through that and people are consoling him a bit and then you'd look at a teammate and sort of go, shake your head going, wow, I've never seen anything like that. So of all people to give advice, who do you think was the one to finish the day of that era?
Well,
a guy who didn't mind just giving a little bit of analysis and he still does it greatly today.
I think it's Mark Waugh.
It's Mark
Waugh. Because I reckon I heard the story of him batting in the nets the following in the tour as well. And you correct me if I'm wrong. But I think Junior was batting the nets. Nico was trying to bowl. And he bowled three balls just straight into the side of the net. And I think Junior just picked this ball up and tossed it to him and said, I can't face that
and
walked out. So
it wouldn't surprise me, but the way this day finished, and when something like that happens within the team, you know, everyone's really, you know, feeling down. So we're on the bus. No one's saying a word, you know, because... we don't know really what to say, so we're silence in the bus. Who's late as usual?
Warnie? Oh, Mark Waugh.
No, Warnie's on that.
Right.
So Junior's, you know, a couple of kids asking for autograph, nick off kids, you know, that sort of stuff. Hops on the bus, we start going, and then you can see Junior going, something's wrong here, no one's talking. Okay, maybe I need to throw an icebreaker out there. Okay, an icebreaker. Well, Nico, I've just got to say, and everyone's listening, that's the worst piece of bowling I've ever seen. Right. And you can see Nico just starting to, you know, hide himself in the thing there. Then, and everyone's just into Junior. Oh, you can't say that and all that. And when Junior's under the pump, you know, he's not going to back down.
No.
So he needs some support. You know who he goes to for support?
I've no idea.
Nico. So he goes to Nico. Hey, Nico, am I wrong? Am I wrong? So that's what I remember. The pub at Fine Leg and Matty Nicholson, how... you know, he bowled himself out of another test match, but a great story. He actually got back. He changed to New South Wales.
Yeah.
Took a lot of wickets. Was probably on the cusp of Australian selection for a while. But
he got selected from Western Australia.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
But the bowler that day, just going, he will not. It's the yips. Like, over the years, a lot of left-arm orthodoxes, for whatever reason, have got the yips.
Yeah.
But... not many fast bowlers, but, you know, that's the end of his career. So for him to fight back, but...
No, it was amazing.
I love Mark Waugh.
He was Yeah, I could understand how he was pretty dry on that sense, Mark Waugh. But yeah, I played junior cricket and was lucky enough to have Matt Nicholson and Brad Williams all through our junior ranks. Like they were our
good
Australian
attack. Bowlers,
good attack. And you know, David, we actually faced one of the quickest spells. You may have played actually. Matthew Nicholson had the bowl. We had to face WA for about 8 overs under lights at the Wacker. It was a 2-day game. It was dark. We sent David Saker out for night watchman. I don't know if you've ever heard of
no,
it.
Thank
but,
you.
No, I don't think Dave hit one, but I reckon he got hit on the body about 15 times. But a lot of the players within the dressing room were actually loving. There was a lot of enjoyment seeing Sakes get hit. But Jason Armbruger and Matthew Elliott, one of them got out. Said that's easily the quickest bowling they've ever faced in their life. And that's for two pretty good hookers and pullers of the ball.
Two of the best. Yeah. Two of the best, those guys.
When at Lord's, England plays Australia.
Hey, how about we just get into the Ashes, because they are actually naming the squad 9 o'clock tonight. So we're going to have a bit of a crack at choosing ours.
Yep.
Firstly, I want to talk to you about the process. So by 9 o'clock tonight, they'll announce it. But before that, Tim Payne, head selector Trevor Holmes, coach Justin Langer will text the players in alphabetical order to come into the meeting room, and they'll get 5 minutes to be told why they are in or they are out. What do you think about that for a process?
Well,
it's better than reading in the paper, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. I mean, at least they've got a chance to be honest and upfront about selection. I wouldn't have thought that. Look, let's see. It's something different. I never got that sort of that sort of love when I was. Look, it's not a bad thing. I think I like the way that it sounds, but when you actually get dropped, you don't actually want to sit in the meeting for another 5 minutes. You just want to sort of punch someone and walk out.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, if I'm Trevor Holmes, do I just feed about 3.5 minutes going, oh, how you enjoyed the time over here anyway, blah, blah. Yeah, hey, mate, you're flying out at 9:10 tomorrow morning.
Yeah. Bang. I'm not sure James Pattinson will take that advice kindly.
Well, I guess we'll see. I reckon Jimmy Boy
is in. Let's hope
will be in and playing the first test. But. Yeah. So the Hick versus Haddon 11, the practice game.
So do you think that's a good idea, what they're doing there anyway?
Yeah, I don't mind it, because I think County's put out second and third 11s. So I think the quality of cricket is better. Ideally, would have liked a test match against Ireland. Now, I understand Cricket Australia really fought hard to get that done. It would have got played in Ireland. But for Irish cricket to play against England...
Yeah.
At Lord's, obviously won over that. But I just thought, imagine playing in Ireland in their first test match against Australia. And you know what it's like. You know, Ireland, well, they're on the cusp of beating England. We'll talk about that in a minute. But just being a test match, there's a pressure with it. It was interesting from the World Cup, and Justin Langer talked about it. You know, you might try and score 450 in a normal one-day series, but there's pressures in a World Cup that I reckon got to the batting there, and a test match against Ireland would have been ideal preparation, I reckon.
Think so. Yeah, I mean, look, I understand why the ECB did that deal with Ireland cricket to get that done, and it's been a good spectacle so far. And this is probably the second best thing. Look, I never felt that when you actually play your teammates, it's quite difficult. It is still a practice match, even though it's been pumped up to be a little bit more than that. I don't see that. I reckon Justin and his crew would have already picked pretty much his side and maybe just swayed with one or two performances.
Now, I was hearing from over there, you know, I had a few weeks there for the World Cup.
Yeah, we'll get back to that.
I was getting a vibe that, they were uncertain with their batting lineup.
How can you be uncertain? We've had 6 months to be able to digest what happened here in Australia. We've had a World Cup. You must know who your good players are.
Yeah, I just think the lack of first-class cricket and test match cricket, you know, the one-day build-up for the World Cup, Warner and Smith coming back in.
So do you pick those guys who have played a lot of county cricket in England? I mean,
Well, let's get into it now, because the openers are part of that.
Yeah.
Well, do I... For me, and I want you to answer it as well, I think they are going to put currency on county runs. I mean, Marnus Labuschagne got him in Division 2, but Bancroft dominating in Division 1 for Durham. My feeling was the indecision was Marcus Harris is probably their second opener, but they're very worried about how many left-handed batsmen they've got in their top six, particularly the skill of Anderson, Wokes and Broad against left-handers. Mm. So I was getting a vibe that they want a right-hander opening the batting.
I think you just pick your best player, whoever that is, and good players adapt. I think if you start going into these horses for courses, how do you know that Jimmy's going to bowl well or Broadie's going to bowl that well? I mean, Jimmy hasn't played for a while. He's been injured.
Calf, he's got a little calf.
So I'm not sure he's going to actually be a threat this year, Jimmy Anderson, to be honest. That's a big call. I mean, he's a superstar player.
And it's a big out for England because Archer's not playing the first test. He might be available for the second, but that would deplete their attack as good as Broad and Wokes are.
So who do you think they're going to select then as the openers?
So let's talk about that. Well, Warner's in.
Yep.
And it's whether they pick two extra ones. So I've got...
Well, who's going to be number two? Let's forget the number three for the moment.
Cam Bancroft will open the first
You reckon Cam match. Bancroft will open. So how did Cam Bancroft jump Marcus Harris and Burns?
So for me, I reckon county runs. And then I reckon it is getting down to that 90 he got yesterday in the practice match. I think it was a bat off between the openers. So with that, I've got Marcus Harris on the tour but missing.
Okay.
And Burns is half a chance to fill potentially a right-hand opening batsman role, but also to bat in the middle order. What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are that Burnsy got those big runs against Sri Lankan 4th 11, didn't he? And to be fair, county attacks can have that feel. I'm not sure you can put a lot of weight of runs on county championship runs at this stage when a lot of attention...
Other than just confidence.
Yeah, well, a lot of attention was taken away by the World Cup. So I imagine that whilst that World Cup's on, England has still got a lot of their artillery focused on that World Cup. And Sheffield Shield or county cricket happens in the background. Second 11 runs or second districts, what is it? Division 2...
They reckon it's very low.
...is so bad. It's not bad. Let me explain it. Compared to Division 1, it's a mile step down. So unless
more like grade cricket, would you say?
I'd say grade cricket, I'd say Melbourne grade cricket, first 11. And if you're a good player, you should be making runs. First 11 can be a little bit different. So if you have a look at Cameron Bancroft's form, I'd like to see who he scored runs against, what teams... That's important. I'm just not sure how he's jumped Burns and Harris, who played just recently in Australia against the number one team in the world. I think they should be given more opportunity to cement this. I thought there was a lot of stuff that I liked about Marcus Harris. There was a lot of improvement to be made. He made some errors,
mainly against Sri Lanka, didn't he?
And that's sort of like... Oh.
But he finished strongly for Victoria, dominated.
Correct. So you've got to reward that. Cameron Bancroft, to me, I feel that he's still got a lot of work to do to actually get back into this side. He's not a superstar like Warner and Smith. He should have been dropped anyway in South Africa before this ball tampering thing. His performances weren't good enough.
Nope.
So people need to understand that. And for me, he needs to go and make 1,000 Shield runs in Australia before he jumps Harris and Burns. So I'd be very disappointed if he gets that slot ahead of Marcus Harris, who come back and got Shield runs and gets another 100 in a final of a Sheffield Shield. Again, that has a lot of weight and that can't be neglected.
You know, the way you're speaking here, like Greg Chappell's moving on.
Yeah.
On your LinkedIn profile, you've got to have... potential Australian selector.
Well, what we should do, we can do a crash test dummy. We can pick, we can go to a local club and we can spend 5 minutes with them and we can sort of go around this process of what Langer and that are doing and see
can we do it at East Sandy?
We'll do it.
Who's under the gun there? Who am I getting rid of?
Well, Cracker, you've got to ask yourself how far Cracker's going to go on.
Yeah.
ask yourself the commitment of Big Dog.
So what's Big? Where is Big Dog? What's he doing in the preseason?
Big Dog. Well, he's a footy man, you know. So
gets footy fit. Footy fit.
Yep, and then he crosses over. But you've also he takes into consideration.
So you end up you never don't do pre-seasons, do you?
No pre-seasons.
If you play footy and cricket, he's smart, Big Dog.
And then Big Dog's got the Melbourne Cup Carnival to contend with as well. So here's selection issues that we have to, you know, we can dive into there.
I might look at him in December, but so with the openers. I like all your arguments. I'm going with a vibe more than what I believe that Bancroft will open in the first test match and Harris will be the backup. The only thing, we get to the middle order, but number three is if Usman Khawaja's, you know, hamstring doesn't pull up, you know, they can rotate someone if Harris can bat three in a test match.
Well, the thing is, whoever plays that test match will be out the next test match. It's very much a stopgap because as soon as Khawaja is fit, he's in and batting at number three.
So who are your other middle orders? So Smith?
Yeah, if Khawaja's fit, let's just assume he's fit.
Yep.
Khawaja for me is at number three, Smith at number four. And then I've got Travis Head at number five.
Yep.
And then I've got a toss-up for number six between Mitch Marsh and Matthew Wade.
Oh, okay.
And purely for rewarding performance.
Yeah.
And I think Matthew Wade.
Geez, you're talking like a selector. See, I'm going on vibe.
How am I jobless?
I will be the opposite to you.
So this is the thing.
I like your rationale.
This is what happens when selectors feed you a pile of bullshit and people don't like it. So for me, Matthew Wade would have given a message. You just have to keep consistently making
runs. Well,
he
is.
And he's done it. And he's done it in domestic. He's done it in all forms. And he's done it for Australia A. There's no other place to do it. So for me, there was a big hole in that number six spot. It just didn't click for us last year. So for me, if you want to give an opportunity for someone with form, then Matthew Wade takes that spot. Mitch Marsh, I like as well, the way he's bounced back. He had a pretty crappy summer, actually.
He had a good tour going.
Well, so
whatever the Hick and Haddon 11 is, yeah.
So he might be one of them ones that we keep tossing an opportunity
to. Well, for me,
he
almost needed to do what you said with Bancroft. Go and get 800 runs and 20 wickets.
Yeah.
But do they want the flexibility of having fast bowling all-rounder? And they probably do. I mean, Justin Langer talked about the all-rounder spots out of him and Manus Labuschagne. See, I think Labuschagne.
Manus is not of an all-rounder. That junk that he tosses up.
He bowled 180 overs in Division 2.
Christ, I hope he can
county
come.
Cricket.
He can come and bowl to Victoria for a decade and I'll top my runs up from 17,000 to 28,000 because that's not getting
it. You might get your 100-100. No, first-class cricket.
Look, if you're bowling Manus when you've got Nathan Lyon, you're already in trouble. So forget Marnus, whereas Mitch Marsh's bowling is actually an aggressive option. Yeah, he's a good bowler.
So we're going to be a bit different here. So I've got Marnus in the squad. I've got.
Do you know he averages 28 in test match cricket and 32 in first class cricket?
Yep. But what does Mitchell Marsh average in test match
Probably
cricket?
Probably the same junk.
No, it's worse.
Is it?
But I'm not sure. I can't see them both in the squad. Because, I've got a feeling Marnus is going to make the squad.
Okay. Well.
And I want Wadey as the backup.
Well, I'd love to be a fly on the wall for that 5 minutes for Cracker to explain to Matthew Wade that Marnus Labuschagne is a better batter in this current form than you, Matthew.
Yep.
I think you might see a little. You might get the short man.
Oh yeah.
Fire up a little bit, I would have thought.
He'd be a good wrestler, Matty Wade.
Yeah, like, very good.
He's strong, isn't
very
he?
Good.
I don't
yeah,
know what his
strong.
Wrestling name will be.
And he could argue that he's actually an all-rounder.
I've got Wade in there. He doesn't bowl the worst medium pace, does
correct.
He, Matty? So, working it out then. So, who's your... we'll do the squad at the end. Wicketkeeper, Payne.
Yep.
I've got Wade in, but I'm taking Carey as well. I'm taking 17.
Yeah, look, I'm just picking the first 11. I'm not really worried about.
By the end though,
12,
I need you to
13,
pick a squad
14.
By the end though.
I'll pick a squad, right?
All right.
I'm just going on the first 11 for what I see. Tim Payne's an interesting one. I reckon he's led really well and he's done well. he's in a really tricky position.
So if he gets injured, who keeps Wade or Carey?
Not even injuries, form.
Okay.
I think there's two gun players right there in Wade and Carey.
Okay.
And, you know...
So you'd be happy for him to play in the same team?
Yeah, I would.
Wade's run's enough.
I would.
Yeah.
And I don't think it'll be long until one of those guys actually takes over.
You reckon it might happen this Ashes? This is the vibe I'm getting.
Can't be far away from Carey slotting into number seven or Matty Wade going back to keep either. This is a big step up. Tim Payne needs to deliver, actually. His leadership's been outstanding.
In the squad. They're both not the best keepers. Carey reminds me a lot of Adam Gilchrist, tall keeper, long levers. Take some really good catches back to the quicks.
Yeah.
It's up to the stumps, which has always been a problem for Matty Wade, but I think it's still a bit of a concern for Carey.
Payne's the best keeper by a mile. We know that. By a mile.
But I thought Carey in the World Cup, he enhanced his reputation. He's tough. You know, the way he got filled in by Archer.
Yeah.
Still had enough nous to catch the helmet that was going to go on the stumps.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
Rod Marsh, not Gilly was tough, but he reminds me of Rod Marsh.
Oh, that
when the chips are down, he'll find a way to get a scrappy 50 or 60 to get your team up to where they want.
And Wade as well.
Yeah,
Wade's tough. Wade. But I don't see, he could fill a short-term sort of role, Wadey, with the gloves, but if he's going to play a couple of years of Test cricket's runs.
Yeah, watch that space.
What about the quicks? There'll be five quicks. Who are they?
You mean in the squad or who's playing the first game?
Okay, the squad and then go, who's your three playing in the first test?
Well, I'll go the other way.
Oh, okay.
I've got Hazelwood, Pattinson and Cummings playing the first test. And I've got Nathan Lyon. And then I'll have Stark as well. And then I'll have Peter Siddle.
So you've got the same five as me.
Right.
That's the same five. I think Peter Siddle... What he did 4 years ago there when our boys were bowling too short and he just bowls that full length that is going to hit the top of the stumps. Good county form.
Yeah.
Wickets in this game. Also, he's half a fast bowling coach as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
James Pattinson, I think, has to play the first test because he naturally bowls fuller than Cummins and Hazelwood.
Pick him.
I have to play Cummins. So it's Cummins and Pattinson are definitely in. Stark needs to bowl full and swing the Duke ball, the red one, not the white one. And Josh Hazelwood, they're saying he's getting better with each performance, but he looks like he's underdone.
Okay.
So I reckon there's a chance Siddle might play the first test.
Well, I did have Siddle penciled in here.
Okay.
But then I just thought, Hazelwood's the vice-captain of the side. They just might get that leadership back in. So,
but not a bad option, is it?
Well, this is the tricky
If you're
part.
Debating...
It's a great squad.
Mitchell Stark. Yeah, Mitchell Stark's best is great.
Unbelievable. Great, problematic thing but for the Australians.
What I like for the quicks, though, the philosophy is if you're not 100%, you're not playing. As opposed to, we don't have enough quicks. If you're 80%, you're playing.
Do you know what? We've always had enough quicks. We saw what happened when Jai Richardson got an opportunity. Get these guys out of cotton wool. If you're bowling shit, drop them. Don't tell them you're rested, you've got a sore quad or whatever horse shit they come up with.
What's your feeling rating? I've been better. Yeah. Got knocked out on Tour of Duty early.
Yeah.
On the PlayStation.
That bothers me, that thing about how you're feeling. Feel it in. You know what? I'm not feeling great. Why? Because I had six cans the night before. Yeah. You know, I had to get up and get the kids breakfast in the morning. No sleep-ins ever. But I got out and go and try and slog some at 7 o'clock at night in Big Bash. You just do it.
You know what I like about that? That you filled it in the morning. If you'd filled it in after six camps, you'd go, mate, feeling great. Pick me now.
I like this.
Spinners.
I've only got Nathan Lyon in the squad.
You know, the duck, John Holland's not there.
I just don't think they're ever going to pick him. I mean, I feel sorry for Johnny, actually. I mean, the last Australian 11 versus B11. He took 6 for 50, didn't he?
Yeah.
And got an opportunity to tour. Didn't quite go well. They're never going to pick him ahead of Nathan
Lyon. So they don't like his fielding and his batting, but I think if there was an injury in the warm-up, right, I'd want the duck there.
Well, maybe you're
right. It's the Ray Bright spotty, right? You know, left-arm orthodoxes, they've just got to be on tour.
So what don't they like about him is fielding.
Yeah.
Hang on, we've got enough coaches. Teach him. What have they been doing for 6 months? Teach him.
See, now you're getting into, you've nailed the selection. Now you're getting into that national high performance.
It's amazing. I
can, aren't you?
How am I jobless?
Not by the end of our, or the start of our next podcast there. So what's our squads?
Squads.
I think for me, off the Go top of my it. Head yep. is, so it's Warner and it's Bancroft and it's Harris and it's Usman and it's Smith and it's Head and it's Wade and it's Labuschagne. And it's Payne and Carey, and then it's
you're gonna have 60 players.
This is why I can't be a selector. I go Stark. I'll go Big Josh. I'll go Jimmy Pattinson, and I'm going Vegan Venom Peter Siddle.
Mate, there's not enough seats on the bus.
And then I'm going Nath Lyon. Well, the thing is, there's more off-field staff. You know when you run Australian cricket?
Yeah.
Can you make at least there's less off-field staff than there is on the tour group?
You can't get a seat on the Goodwin's bus in England anymore. There's so many people on the bus. No wonder Pup chose to go off in his own car. Why wouldn't he?
Well, what about poor Duck? We know you're left-arm orthodox. You're only there. He's not in the main bus.
You know what?
He's in the little mini van going, Duck, to Johnny, we don't need you today.
You know what? So don't worry about your fielding, nor your batting. Go to Greece, have the time of your life, and if Nathan Lyon, you know, falls over, we'll give you a shout.
Yeah.
Come back, no problem.
That's 17.
Well, we can't have 17.
No, I'm going 17.
Why?
Because Justin Langer, despite what, I can't remember who from Cricket
Make
Australia
said. Make a tough call.
I reckon Trevor Holmes went, we're only taking 16. I know Justin Langer wants 17, and guess what?
Take 15.
You're not going to take on Justin Langer. If he goes, I want 17. If he wants 37.
Take 15.
I'm taking 17.
That's what always an Ashes squad was, 15.
No, it was always 17.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
But the one you went on might as well in 15 because you didn't even get close to playing, did you? You or McGill?
Nah.
Hads, no chance?
No.
All right, now what are you doing?
I want to go back to that space, actually.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, what's your Ashes 17?
Well, I might as well just pick that same.
No, you've gone.
Oh, Labuschagne is not out.
Mitchell Marsh over Labuschagne.
I've got Mitchell Marsh in there. So
Burns?
I actually just picked 15. There you go.
Oh, okay.
Warner, Harris, Smith, Khawaja, Head, Marsh, Wade, Payne, Hazelwood, Pattinson, Cummings, Lyon, Stark, Siddle. That's one. That's 14, is it?
Yeah.
And I'm just going to pick a spare bat, and it's going to be Burns.
Yep. 180 against Sri Lanka in last one. See, what I like there is now you could be chairman selectors. You could be head of high performance. You know what you've just done there by having 15? You're head of finance at Cricket Australia as well. You've just saved two players, which would be like $200,000.
Well, do you know what I've also done? I've streamlined any thought about people thinking they're going to play. Like, it's just, you've just got to simplify it and say, you know what, we've got one. Who's our next best batter? And you can choose whoever it is.
Well, Burns gives you flexibility because he could open all six.
It could be Carey, right? Whoever it is. But for me, it's Burns. They brought him back. He did the job against a crappy Sri Lanka, but he did the job. You can't deny him that.
Okay, you've picked your on-field. What about how I said there's about 20 off-field staff?
Yeah.
What's the minimum? You're the head of finance at Cricket Australia now.
Yeah.
What off-field staff do you want there? Coach?
Well, I mean, they're spending left, right and centre. This is amazing. Well, they just gave Punter $1 million.
Well, Taylor's Steve Waugh's mentor.
So he would have to get exactly the same as Punter.
I don't think they're on that, but I like that. I like Ponting being there. I like Steve Waugh being there.
So do I. Yeah, I actually like that.
So we'll go just mentor. So we'll have a bowling coach. We have a fielding coach.
That's it.
And a team manager.
Yep.
Are you happy with that?
Yep.
So you know you've saved, I reckon, $2.5 million.
The rest you don't need.
And that, do you and want, I'll tell you where what. Do you want that 2.5 going? Grassroots?
I'll
give you 10% commission.
No, give it, spread it out, and next tour you give it to Gilly. Next one, Haydos. That's the love.
2.5?
Oh, whatever it is, yeah.
All right.
Australia takes the Ashes. But victory is the least that men play cricket for. They played for a host of reasons, ill-defined and hard to seek.
Okay, what about England and Ireland? England bowled out for 85. They're 9 for 303. Ireland punched out 207. England lead by 181 with one wicket in hand. And this test match has been fantastic for world cricket, hasn't it? To see a developing test nation competing, having the opportunity at Lords, and I reckon England will learn a lot from that experience.
I'll tell you what...
Oh, hang on. Sorry. England have played 1,011 test matches. Ireland, this is only their third one.
Yeah.
And they are smashing up.
I'll tell you what they need to do. Australia need to jump down to London, or go up to London, because they were in Hampshire, weren't they?
Yes.
Drive up to London and hire Robbie Cassell as their bowling coach for this. Because for him to be able to develop a skill set which has dismantled England for 85, Robbie Cassell, step up to the big
former time. Former Victorian and South Australian quick.
We
Melbourne, you played with him at Melbourne.
Yeah, I did. I did.
What a good man Robbie is, but also what I like is, getting that opportunity to coach at test level.
What I love is how good it is to wake up and hear that England's been dismantled for 85. Yeah, I was jumping for joy.
I was watching it, so it was just fantastic. And I put it out on social media as well. They just had this Irish fan going off right at the end, and it just said, I would not have pictured that 10 years ago.
Yeah. Well, we're doing this with one day's to play, and it looks like England will have about 220 to defend.
Yeah.
How do you see it? How do you reckon it's going to pan out? You reckon Ireland are good enough to get the job done?
I don't know. It's the enormity of it for Ireland, isn't it? That balanced out with England thinking we can't afford to lose this.
Yeah.
I think it'll be the team that actually takes the positive option, that actually wins this.
Well, they've beaten them before, Ireland, in a big World Cup game. I think it was in Bangalore, I reckon, and...
Well, they've got a history of it.
They lost to
Durky Nana's Dutch team
yep.
as well, didn't they? But it's the shortest test innings ever at home. Shorter than 30 overs shorter than 1995 against the West Indies, England there. Murtagh.
Yep.
69 off Crick Viz, 69% of his balls were going to hit the stumps. The average at test level is 34. So not only is he bowled beautifully, and he played for Middlesex, he's an older player, so he knew exactly how to use the slope. That's the DNA about beating England, isn't it? And the Aussie quicks surely would be going that mentality.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing for us if we're going to pick James Pattinson. And I think maybe we can go.
And Siddle.
These guys from Victoria, you have to challenge the stumps. MCG, Junction Oval. If you bowl corridor, it's no good. They may even consider someone like Chris Tremaine. Could be an outsider.
Well, I think the guys we didn't talk about, Jackson Bird and Chris Tremaine, guess what? They can get wickets at test level.
Yep, they can.
They're probably missing out. But I don't like England's batting. I think they've only got one world-class batsman. That is Joe Root. They've got a world-class all-rounder, Ben Stokes. But Stokes, he doesn't average 45 with the bat and 25 with the ball. But he wins test matches, doesn't he?
Yeah, not yet. He will.
Bairstow has been a world-class wicket-keeper batsman, but he's part of the problem, Bairstow. He's averaging 29 in the last 2 years. This is from Crick Viz as well. But what about this? And you're talking about the way to bowl to this top order. Since 2018, Bairstow's had 68 balls that have bowled to him at test match level, and he has scored 36 runs, got out 8 times.
Wow.
Attack the stumps. He gets bowled. He gets inside edges. As opposed to Burns, Rory Burns, who's opened a bit. I think Mark Waugh's not a big fan. He said this might
he
be a harsh
rubbish,
call.
Didn't he?
But I would have thought he looked like the night watchman. He gets tested on the outside edge.
Yeah.
So he can actually bowl a fourth or fifth stump line. He doesn't know where he's off stump. He nicks out. So I'll be intrigued to see the bowling plans. But the length has to be fuller than what we bowled 4 years ago.
And just explain to our listeners the difference between the red ball and the white ball. And some of our listeners will be thinking, well, why don't they just play their World Cup side as a test playing nation?
Yes.
Why can't you do that?
I think that the thing is with, say someone like Jason Roy. who was a superstar of the white ball.
Yeah.
Okay. And he got 70 in the second innings there, but there was a few opportunities. He's in white ball cricket. He opens up. You know what he knows? The pitch is going to be flat.
Flat.
The ball will swing for a period of time.
Three or four overs.
Besides England, there's no seam. It doesn't move off the seam in one day cricket or T20 cricket.
Yeah.
And you know, and also in one day cricket, you know where the ball's going to be. It can't be outside your leg stump. Can't be too wide outside your off stump. You know that they're not going to bowl too short because they've only got one good one in them and over. So you can actually predict. You can look down the pitch and you'd almost put it in a grid, can't you? Just going, well, the balls are going to be in this area. This is why we love test match cricket.
Yeah,
because where are you going to get bowled? There might be the odd one down the leg side. There is going to be more than one bouncer and over at times. There's going to be a moving ball.
Yeah.
Is my technique, has it been tested and have I had to implement a defensive technical focus, not only just technically but mentally over period to get through a tough 15 over period where the ball is talking? So
dead batsmen don't look like they can actually deal with the moving ball. And for our listeners, that is the difference. The ball moves. Yep. When a ball moves, it's challenging for a batsman. You would have loved bowling in test match cricket a lot more than one day cricket, I imagine, because the ball consistently moves all day.
And you can set batsmen up, can't you?
Yeah.
Like you're more reactive in one day cricket. So one of the bright spots was for England, Jack Leach, the spinner, went in at night watchman. He was averaging 4 in county cricket before this innings, and he punched out 92.
I wasn't surprised this actually happened. And no disrespect to Jason Gillespie. Would he have been able to get a 200 against Australia? Probably not.
No.
It's a medium attack. It's pretty much a pop gun attack. And if you're ever going to be a night watchman, this is a side which you want to bat against. Yeah. So well done to Jack Leach. What it shows is the deficiencies of the other top order. I'm really concerned for England. I think this is where
their top three are literally county players.
They're walking wickets at the moment. Walking wickets. And I think that's where Australia, if they pick the right top six, will dominate this Ashes series.
Well, you know, we just want hundreds.
Yep.
If we can score 700s for the series and get enough 30s and 40s around that, I think besides Joe Root, Stokes will get going. Stokes. You know, even someone like Josh Butler, he's a white ball superstar. Mm. He's just a handy red ball batsman.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll be inclined to call back someone like Owen Morgan, who has had a test match.
He hasn't played for 5 or 6 years, and I think the feeling is he'll be more prone to the short ball.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say scared. It's technical things that you get into. You can play inside the line in white ball cricket on flat pitches, can't you? Because you just back your eye.
Yeah.
But you can't do that consistently in test match cricket, I don't believe.
No, not at all. There's nothing worse than getting peppered for at least an hour or two from guys that can bowl under 50k an hour.
Okay, go the Irish tonight. Okay, World Cup review quickly. I thought it was a fantastic World Cup. I arrived, Australia, Bangladesh. The Aussies won. Everyone's saying it's 11 dead rubbers.
Yeah, you were there, weren't you? You were there on the ground. So talk us through, you know, what was it like to be over there?
Well, I really liked it because the worry about the dead rubbers, then England lose to Sri Lanka.
Yes.
Then
amazing.
Pakistan catch fire.
Yeah.
And then Bangladesh are playing really good cricket.
Yeah.
England, talking about 500, they couldn't even get 230 against Sri Lanka. So were England going to fall under the weight of expectation? And I think those losses, remember those three losses, Jason Roy didn't play two of those.
Yeah, he did.
Roy's so important to their one-day
team.
So
important.
And then India, could they do it? But I worried about their middle order. Australia, Khawaja, can he get there at number three? Yeah, he played a couple of important knocks. And then that injury against South Africa, Costas.
Just in hindsight, did we get that wrong with Khawaja not opening with his form that he had with Finch in India? I know Warner had a good tournament.
If Khawaja was fit for South Africa run chase, we went deep. If he'd played that semi against England, you know, conditions that was moving everywhere, I think Usman would have been good at number three.
I actually thought he had a good tournament, Usman Khawaja.
Yeah, so he averaged 37. Yeah. So no problems at all. Nah. But Maxi didn't get going. And then Marcus Stoinis, there's no more important role to bat six and finish off innings and then bowl handy overs. And I think Stoin ended up
those
averaging 12.
Those two,
really hurt us.
Their future is in a lot of trouble.
I'd say 80% of the squad's in trouble, Hodgson, yeah. To be fair. I don't see a lot of these players playing in the next World Cup. So it'll be what the selectors decide to do from there. Hey, well, but what about... Oh, sorry.
Go. I love the format. I like this fact that you each played each other.
Once, yep.
And yeah, I enjoyed that. Washouts were a bit of a drama, but that's okay. But what I didn't... What there was a lot of talk about was the finals format again. Just a 50-50, no benefit to finish first or second.
No.
It's just a pure shootout.
So what do you think there?
I like the IPL sort of format style where one and two play off and then one goes straight into the final. And if you finish fourth, you have to win three games to actually win the tournament. There needs to be a benefit.
So I think that is a better format and it works well for TV. But you know when New Zealand in the semi, they lost their last three home and away games in New Zealand. They limped in. But they played both finals on their terms because they go differently than the other teams. They go, if we get anywhere between 220 and 250, we'll back our bowling line. They bring Henry back in for India. We're going to go pace. We're going to blast them out.
He should have been in anyway. They messed around with their...
Sodhi didn't work.
Sodhi didn't work. Tim Southey.
Everyone thought it was going to be a spinning World Cup. Mm. We'll play two spinners, including Australia, and we'll face 20 overs of it. But no, you needed a flexible squad because it was a bit wet early and the ball nibbled. So I thought New Zealand were fantastic. I love the brutality of semi-final losses. It's not fair, but God, it's unreal, particularly when the underdog gets up.
It is brutal, there's no doubt. Yeah, look, probably the four best sides actually made the final. I think Bangladesh were actually...
Well, Pakistan were unlucky.
Pakistan unlucky. I think Bangladesh played the best cricket they could possibly play.
How about Shakib?
Shakib was unbelievable. They were actually really good.
The fierce.
Yeah. I mean, they made consistent 300s. They played great cricket all the way through. Just didn't get the run either. Mm. Lost a couple of games. And could have easily made an impact if Pakistan or Bangladesh had a snuck into the finals. Could have easily made a big impact in that World Cup.
Oh, definitely. And what about the final, mate? You know, one of the, if not the greatest one-day game that I've ever seen. You know, but once again, New Zealand, I reckon, played it on their terms for 80%. You know, if Australia, India or England batted first, they would have been going, we've got to get 300. Mm. Everyone's thinking about that, but nah. They didn't bat too slow. They knew that the wicket had a bit nibble in there and they backed their bowlers. And they had it won. They had it won.
And they still haven't lost. It's a tough thing. I think they won't get over this for a long, long time, this New Zealand squad. I'm really nervous for their future because I don't think they'll have a crop of players like they've had in this World Cup and the past World Cup. With McCullum, you know, Williamson led.
Their batting's average. I mean, I really liked, you know, Nicholls and Latham, who had poor tournaments, actually had their best game in the final.
Yeah.
But, you know, are they going to be consistent run scorers? Munro didn't work.
No.
Guptill had an
stinker.
Absolute shocker.
Yeah. Look, so they've done well to actually sneak into the final and compete. When you look back in history, when you're 25 years down the track and you look back at the list of winners of World Cup, and you run through Australia's legendary players, you go back to the West Indies. This England side, when you look back, you're going to go through and go, wow, what a team. You know, Roy, Bairstow, Root, Morgan, Stokes, Butler. It's history will say that the best team probably won. So
it doesn't always happen. And I just, you know, with the throw, you know, the overthrows, Guptill did the right thing. He went to the danger area. They run out. Stokes, it is game over.
And I'll tell you something.
Just my heart went, for a minute I went, oh, is that dead ball? You know, once it, and then it ran, my heart went, oh, please don't let them win off the back of that. And they got the tie and the opportunity to super over, but, oh, man, it was heartbreaking.
For our listeners, when cricket starts, Go and have a crack at trying to do that in club cricket. You cannot do it. I've sort of tried to do it once or twice.
You mean running Stokes and sliding to hit the
ball. He didn't intend to do it at all. We know he didn't. But I've actually tried to do it and you can't do it.
Yeah.
You still miss it.
See, I like you. You've got just about everything. You've thought of every potential, even the double bouncing Yorker, sliding the bat, just angle the bat a little bit and go for four.
What a devastating loss, though, for New Zealand.
And I think we all agree.
They had the game won.
And no one's happy with boundaries being the way to decide it. I mean, you just think, I know it's in hindsight, it should have been picked up. But the person who actually come up with that and thinking, oh, it probably won't happen, it was never going to be a good solution. Another super over. You know, I was there, lucky enough to call it on SEN. The vibe was that crowd would have been up for another super over. And then if it's a tie,
yeah, why not?
Have
even
joint winners or have or a bowl replay. Off. No, I'd rather bowl off. At least there's a skill.
No, let's do it again.
Yeah.
Like AFL Grand Final, Sydney versus Collingwood, wasn't it? They come back the next week.
Yeah, but it's changed now. Even the AFL have got the 5 minutes each time. Yeah.
Oh. But what if you go still a draw after 5 minutes?
I think they just keep going. Maybe the next score wins.
We'll do our AFL podcast. I don't think the administrators have just thought about it. They'll have to think about it now, and it'll change. And it'll change for the better.
Well, if you could be chairman of selectors on your LinkedIn and high performance manager and finance manager,
can
you be on the MCC rules committee? That might be an honorary role.
Isn't Punter on it? Is a Punter on the rules committee?
Yeah, but he's not here for our podcast, is he?
We'll have to smack him when we get to
Channel
7.
Are you interested in honorary roles, or would you still want a little bit for your effort?
No, I need some coin. I haven't got a job. I need something for my love.
Okay,
I'm going
to switch that off.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the MCC rules committee.
No, forget it.
What about the women's Ashes? Haven't the girls just had an absolute cracker?
It's a whitewash. Yeah, whitewash. They've absolutely flogged them, and it's not surprising. The quality of players that we've got. Good to see Sophie Molyneux get in there and get an opportunity and get some poles. How do you go past Elise Perry?
Well, it's just who we're going to... Rachel Haynes, you know, such a consistent player.
Yeah.
Experienced player, got runs again. But Elise Perry just keeps... getting it done. So she's averaging close to 60 in test match cricket. She got, 7 for 12 in the one dayer?
Yeah.
Just so I thought, maybe she's becoming more a batting all-rounder.
Look, I love this format. I love the format that you play, the one dayers, the test. Maybe just chuck a little bit more weight on the test match because it did peter out to a bit of a boring draw, where Australia had a real opportunity to actually win this game and probably should have won it.
But they did the right thing by the series, though, didn't they?
They did.
Not for the spectacle.
No. So maybe they can just juggle the point system a fraction to make sure that, you know, you might get some more points to actually win the test match because it's only a four-day test match.
But I still hope, and we've talked about the last couple of years, that, you know, every time... you know, a touring team comes, that's the format, isn't it? And so the girls can maybe play three test matches a year because, you know, we saw that great thing, you know, next teammate of yours, Dan Christian, you know, as captain of the Indigenous team that went to England last year, you know, presents the cap to Ash Gardner debut. You know, I think for Ash, and she's only 22 years of age and she's got so much cricket ahead of her, but I think to have that baggy green would be really special.
Special for sure. It was great. Really good.
So three T20s to come. And there's still a lot riding on that, particularly for players of both teams because there's the World T20 here at Melbourne in February. So even though you've had a dominant series as a team, you want to be getting a gig at the MCG where they're talking up 100,000.
No doubt. No, absolutely no doubt. There's a lot to play for. Absolutely. And we're the champions of T20. Yes. So we have to keep that momentum going.
Hodgie, Big Bash time. It's a shorter Big Bash. I think everyone's comfortable with that.
Yep. Oh, it's a great idea. I think that everyone...
More double headers and...
Everyone from broadcast to players to supporters wanted less time. Good thing is they've still got the content, so there's enough games, or still same amount of games, if not more, but just condensed it in. Great idea. Why not?
Geez, you're going to have to work a bit busier.
I'm happy to work, mate.
You're Mr. Big Bash at Channel 7, aren't you?
Well, let's see.
What do you mean?
Well, I need some dialogue from myself and Chris Jones. We'll see. He's busy. If I am stepping up, then, you know, I need to be told because I need to get fit, get ready, dye the hair. All that sort of stuff.
Well, we could get 2-for-1.
We could.
Me and you?
We could.
Actually, that Jamaican could be a sponsor Brown. For the Bowlology Jamaican report. What is it, Brown. Just My Men or something? Oh, what, is it Jamaican Brown?
I don't know. I don't think we can
Dizzy
pull that
used
off
to
anymore.
Go Jamaican Brown.
Yeah. He had a huge regrowth, didn't he, through there, Diz?
Harry Gurney, the English left-arm seamer who closes out the innings beautifully, is returning to the Bash. He said he enjoyed it. Why wouldn't he?
Why wouldn't he enjoy it?
He bowled beautifully, and the Renegades won it.
Yep. He's, what they call him, Mr. Bean.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a typical Mr. Bean geek type guy, isn't he? But he was
phenomenal. Besides his bowling, I mean, his fielding was Mr. Bean-like, and his batting's like that, but...
Now that's a huge
with
signing.
With the ball,
actually.
He's James Bond at the end. He gets it done.
He gets it done. Huge signing, unfashionable, but yeah, good signing from Torch and the Renegades.
Well, let's be honest, it was Dan Christian who plays with him.
Yeah.
In England. So he
that's how he actually
the
got
managers.
There. Correct. Yeah. They are.
All coaches.
We can't give credit to Lynchy for getting Harry Gurney to the Renegades.
He wouldn't have known who
we?
He was.
No, of course he wouldn't.
Warner, unlikely for the Bash. James Erskine, his manager's just been quoted that, you know, wants to look at his workload and how busy he is. Do you think that's just a little bit of byplay by the Warner camp?
Must be.
We want him playing.
Absolutely.
I want to commentate.
And I think it would be good for his reputation and public to have him there. Yeah, he's still got to win back a few fans. There's no doubt, and he's gone about the right way in doing that. I want every Australian player putting their hand up to get involved in the Big Bash, and why wouldn't you want to play that instead of whatever else you're doing? Get out there and support your teammates. Get out there and support the fan base. Enjoy. Put a
come
show
on,
on,
Dave. Come it's on, Warner's Dave. World. That,
get me, up.
Yeah. You missed a T20 cricket. Okay, little stat of the day. I was talking about the Australian top order and that I had Bancroft in because they're worried about having 5 or 6 lefties in their top six because the England Quicks, their records against left-handers, James Anderson gets a wicket every 20 runs.
Really?
Pretty good. Stuart Broad, every 24 runs. And Chris Wokes, 19.
Okay.
Just a little bit of a stat, a little bit of trivia, right backing up why they want some right-handers in the top order. And obviously their records against right-handers are not as good as that, Brad.
Interesting. Yeah, you wouldn't have thought that from Jimmy Anderson. He's got a fairly good outswing delivery.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you think that just shows how skillful he is to be able to get what's he closed down 400 wickets now, isn't he? Something like that? Or
no,
more?
No, no, no. He's getting up to 600. He's unpassed Pigeon.
600. Well, he must have 400 left-handers then.
I think about 750. Hey, mate, now it's time for, and it's been ages since we've had a podcast. It's the reason why celebrities, besides the Shark, of course, he doesn't fear you. The Shark
says,
well, you help promote me, really. But just about every other social, you know, Kim Kardashian and even Warney, I think, to a degree, they're just hesitant sending out a tweet or an Instagram photo because they know you are onto them.
Yeah.
Because this is the Social Media Self-Promoter Award. Who are your nominees for this week?
Well, the thing is, I mean, all throughout the whole World Cup, there wasn't one human that didn't play cricket that wasn't on the social media bandwagon.
Yeah.
So I've just sort of parked them aside because we knew that they'd be busy.
We need the big ones.
KP was absolutely on fire. It was
Pup,
ridiculous.
Was Pup
was absolutely on fire. But that was their time. What I wanted to see was post the World Cup what happened. And there's been a few active members, which is pretty cool. And I'm going to start with Dwayne Bravo, DJ. So he's up and about, didn't feature in the World Cup.
No.
So he's smart enough to wait for the World Cup and get active. And here he is, life of a champion. Love your baby, hashtag run the world, hashtag wake up. Show class, have pride and display character. Make a statement by the champion you are. That's brilliant, DJ, we love that.
Because he is the champion.
Yeah, I've got one by Suresh Rana, who returned from his holiday from Holland, I believe, and just threw a few posts at him at just coming back into India. Hello. And it's just a random photo, hashtag throwback. And I'm not quite sure why you do that.
And a photo of himself. Is that a playground?
Just himself.
In the background.
And a bike.
Oh, bike.
That's one. KL Rahul. Is also was very active during the World Cup. Lots of pictures just with his mates walking down the street. This one here is a picture of Kyle Rahul in the gym with his top off, all glazed in sweat, with a towel around him. But he also has those jeans on, plus a pair of runners.
That doesn't make sense.
So it's not gym equipment. It's all about the obsession of getting more from yourself, but staying humble whilst keeping the hunger of a lion.
There's a lot to digest.
A lot.
Why is he humble there?
I've no idea. I don't know where he's going.
Where's the lion come from?
I don't know. This one is one of the best ones. And it's Dre Russ, who's been active, showing about his rehab.
Yeah.
But he's in this one, Flem, he's actually not showing any rehab at all. It's just got It's a Beautiful Day. And it's just...
So he's got his top off.
Top off.
Just a lot of bling. And just, and I love he's contemplating something. He's not looking at the camera.
No.
So that's not a selfie. Who's taken that?
Exactly. So it's brilliant. We had to sneak him in after. He gave himself actually a Twitter ban, KP. He said he's way too active on Twitter. So here he is just jet
on
setting in his own private jet. Oh. Good morning. Nah, good morning. Get your own plane. And look, he's come back, Michael Clark. So Pupster's made his way. He knows he needs to step up. After a couple of months away, I needed this. Thanks at Face of Man Sydney.
Is that a shop?
It's or a shop or a product of skincare of some sort, Mr. Clark.
He's a gun.
Beautiful. But this one is the fantastic one. And we haven't heard from him for a while. But Matthew Hayden. It's not long until I'll be hosting On Conversation with the Mystic. Tweet me your burning questions and topics you'd like us to discuss. The floor is yours. If I can explain that.
Who's the Mystic?
If I can explain that to the listeners, on the 25th of July, from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at the Brisbane Convention Centre and Exhibition Centre.
I want to go.
Matthew Hayden is there's some Indian mystic.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. It doesn't say what it is about.
No.
I have no idea what it's about.
So it's not, you don't know whether it's spiritual or...
I've no idea. All I know, it's Matthew
not
Hayden...
It's nothing to do with cooking, is it?
Like not
Hados
cooking.
Is a cook.
It's not Hayden's way.
It could be, no, but it is put on by the Hayden way.
It is put on by the Hayden way. Anyway, it's beautiful self-promotion.
So he's hosting a night. So he's going to MC it or compare it.
Yeah.
And with an Indian mystic.
Yep.
When was the date?
It's the 25th of July, so it was last night actually.
If anyone went, can you give us a briefing for next week?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to chase that.
And maybe we will find out whether we're going to win the Ashes or not.
Yeah. You know, they would have already had the 17 picked.
Yeah.
Potentially the 14. Nah, big dossy.
Anyway, there was some great stuff throughout the whole World Cup.
We missed a bit.
But that's it.
I want an Ashes focus for now.
I'll give an Ashes focus. But, yeah, there were some honourable mentions throughout the whole World Cup. Tom Curran, who we thought was going to be a superstar, delivered in spades.
You called that. Wahab Riaz?
Wahab Riaz was brilliant
awesome.
As well.
Yeah.
Just those guys we thought were going to be good, they were outstanding.
Yeah, and I think... potentially could have got some votes.
You got
too.
Some I votes was, as well. I didn't want to give you promotion on this show for your own promotion.
Yeah. No, you're good like that. But I was pretty poor. Okay, so DJ and Rainer, just one. They're just sort of weird ones, really. Kahal Rahul, I'm working out, but you're in jeans.
Yes.
You've just splashed yourself with water probably. Mm. Three votes. Dre Ross, just unbelievable. You've actually... taking your top off, you're contemplating maybe your comeback, dominating. Yep. Three votes there. Four to Pup and KP. We love them. We know they're going to be fighting for the title.
Yeah.
And for Haydos with the Mystic, that's 10 votes. It's the Hayden Way.
Hayden Way, 10 votes. There was another person who I didn't want to mention because I was just jealous, and that was AB de Villiers, just tweeting that he was at the golf.
Yeah.
Like, piss off, mate. We just can't get there. We're jealous.
Nah, he's, what a star.
Anyway.
Want to see him in the Bash.
Anyway, Haydon, well done. Wait, well done, Haydos.
But that was the Social Media Self-Promoter Award. So Haydos is going up. KP, actually, DJ and Ray Russ are up there too.
Yeah.
I did a poll question. Aussie selectors name the Ashes squad tonight. Who opens with Warner? I put Harris, Bancroft and Burns. And getting half the votes, Cam Bancroft.
Really? Cam Bancroft? Okay.
Harris 38%, Burns 12%. So Cam and Marcus, I think that means that you're in the squad. Hey, Hodgie, right. That's it from the Bowlology Report. Been good to catch up. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to do a weekly Ashes podcast.
Righto.
All right? So let's get one. Maybe next Wednesday before the first test, and we'll start the preview. I reckon we might start to get some guests.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
As well.
Yeah, I've got a few players, a few people in here who have tweeted through their sides that they think might start the next week. So we'll see that. We'll put that on next week.
Yeah, we'll know the actual teams. If you can tweet at Bowlology Report or at Hodgie or myself, your a starting 11.
And they're all different. There's all Burns, there's all Labuschagne. It's going to be an interesting week.
It will. And you're always interesting. Thanks for that. That was the Bowlology Report.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.